Holy Family Radio, and the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference now present Catholic Legislative Talk with Al Ganoza.
Hello again, everybody. Al Ganoza here with another edition of Catholic Legislative Talk. It has been a busy week up at the state capitol. Last week, not so. The legislators were not in session, so you didn't have them there. You didn't have staff. You didn't have all the lobbyists, the people that come up to talk to the legislators. You went up there and it was kind of depressing. Well, they were not in session. But they're back in session this week, and it has been very busy, not only with the legislators and their staff, but also you have the groups that come up to, well, not only the lobbyists, but the groups. Like today I was up there, it was the pharmacists, and there was a line, if you drove by the Capitol around 8:30, quarter to 9 in the morning, and actually through to 9:30, it was a line getting up the steps to get checked in through through the security checks there. And then once you get in there, you saw a lot of people with white coats. So they have their issues, and I noticed them as they were stomping in and talking to legislators. Not sure exactly what their issues are, but I'll try to find out. We have a lot of other ones that are going on. All right, some other issues that are going on. I have this article here. Senators offer no tax alternative to Governor Wolf's Restore PA plan. And the article is Senators Cameron Bartolotta, Republican, 46th District, and Pat Stefano, Republican, 32nd District, offered an alternative to Governor Wolf's Restore PA plan that would fund infrastructure projects throughout the state without the need for the governor's job-killing severance tax. Now, that's how they phrase the governor's plan. I don't think he's going to phrase his own plan, job-killing severance tax, But anyway, Cameron Bartolotta, good person. I have some sound from her coming up. Now, as part of the budget address, the article goes on to say, Governor Wolf proposed a bond issue funded by an additional tax on the natural gas industry to provide funding for blight remediation, stormwater projects, flood prevention, brownfield cleanups, and infrastructure projects. Bartolotta and Stefano proposed a plan that would fund similar projects through revenues generated by lifting the governor's moratorium on non-surface disturbance natural gas drilling on state forest lands. That has been a big issue, the drilling and the drilling tax. So we'll see. The senator's plan would not require the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources to authorize new non-surface disturbance horizontal drilling. All right, now we're getting into technicalities here. It would only lift the moratorium on leases for existing well pads. They lost me on that one. So if you're out there and you wonder what it's talking about, I don't either, but apparently the senators do, and that's going to be something to consider as budget negotiations continue. All right, Senator Cameron Bartolotta, I mentioned her. She has also been named to lead a criminal justice reform caucus. I sat in on the first ever meeting of that caucus, and I talked with a senator right afterward.
We are taking a look at all of the legislation that is so prohibitive in Pennsylvania to actually do what we call corrections or reform. Right now, I feel that our correction system is more like a warehousing system, and we end up punishing people for crimes. They do their time, and then it's almost impossible for them to really become a contributing member of society again. So with this caucus, we're looking at all of the issues, first, that put people behind bars for such a long time to begin with. Is it a mental health issue? Is it a drug addiction issue? Is it a dual diagnosis? Is it something that we're punishing someone for a really long time, creating a felony, or when they get out, they can't get a home, they can't go to school, they can't get a job, and they become dependent on the state for the rest of their life? So we need to do much better, morally and fiscally.
Okay, thank you very much. Another thing that happened last week, the Pennsylvania Catholic Health Association, which is affiliated with the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference, held its quarterly meeting to discuss proposed bills and how the PCHA and PCC feel about that legislation. I talked with Catherine Judge Cardillo. She is the PCHA treasurer and a director with Trinity Health. And she had a lot of good opinions during the meeting and a lot of good perspectives. And I asked her about how she feels the legislature's actions, meaning bills proposed here and there, affect the healthcare community.
So sometimes the legislators don't recognize what they're enacting in Harrisburg is impacting the operations of our hospitals or our healthcare facilities. So what I tried to do is educate them, understand what their intent of the legislation is, and really make recommendations so that it's best for all consumers when the legislation is passed.
Okay. So I guess what that means, and what I took from the whole meeting, is just because legislators think, in principle, it might sound good, and somebody from the outside might think, wow, that's a good idea, that should happen. And in principle, it might sound good, and might be good, but there are logistical issues that have to be done. And a lot of times it adds more burden upon the hospital and makes them, offers more red tape to prove they're doing something that they already do. So it's just more hassle for them. All right, speaking of, let's continue on a medical frame here. I don't know if you've heard, but the lieutenant governor has been on a tour touting recreational marijuana. And just to gauge the pulse of the state to see if they're for it, he's been trying to see which way the wind and the smoke are blowing, so to speak. Well, one of the people who does not like the tour, and I'm sure there are a bunch, and I've heard from some, is Representative Dawn Kiefer. We've spoken with her before. She's a Republican. Not to say that she's necessarily against and a hardcore, hey, I hate pot, I don't want it being done, but she's not a fan either. Definitely not a fan. She doesn't do it and she doesn't think it's good. But takes more issue with what the tour itself is going to do as far as bringing awareness to marijuana, recreational marijuana.
Took a little bit of an affront to this because Lieutenant Governor is an administrative position. It's not a legislative position. So I feel like this is a little bit of a propaganda tour to try to gain momentum of it. I have not been able to attend any of the panels or hearings that he's had. He had one in Mechanicsburg and he had one at York College, and I was not able to attend those. A very close friend of mine went to the one in York, and he did speak to the issue, but he said it pretty much felt like it was a dog and pony show, like it was his supporters that were there. And I just feel like we are basically trying to make this an issue where it's not really, it's de minimis, not a big deal. You smoke a cigarette, you smoke a joint, and I think the more and more we do this, the more people are just going to accept it, not realizing what the consequences are on society. And I think the consequences are huge. And I think you're seeing this more and more as the issues being discussed in other states, like Colorado. As people look to Colorado and say, look what they're doing. Like it's some great accomplishment they've made. There are now more marijuana dispensaries than there are, I think they said, McDonald's and Starbucks combined. Combined, can you imagine? So now you have a youth population, and something around, I think it's 60%, over 60% of high school seniors do not see anything wrong with smoking marijuana. So they already have that perception of it. They're vaping. Parents don't even know what the consequences of vaping are, right? This is some kind of a chemical that they're inhaling in their lungs. The nicotine is much stronger. They are now high school principals and superintendents are coming to us and saying, you got to do something to criminalize the selling of vaping products to minors because they're having such an issue. Because of the nicotine levels in those vapes, they've had kids OD on nicotine. So, I mean, your brain is not fully developed, right? And I know they're going to say, oh, well, we're not talking about high schoolers. But look in Colorado how they're marketing it. It's in pastries, it's in gummies, it's in all kinds of edibles, and it's stronger, and it also hits your bloodstream differently. So it's a new beast. And so while we say everything we do is for our children, right? Oh, this is for our future. This is for the betterment of the next generation. But we're going to do this. We're going to saddle our youth with this. There is conclusive data where it does have effects on short-term memory. It has effects on psychosis, a propensity. If you are already genetically disposed to having different psychosis issues, the propensity of that is greater. We can't find people right now in our workforce. I mean, we have a huge workforce issue, and so many people. So many employers I speak to say, listen, if you have the will, I'll give you the skill. I'll teach you the skill. I need them to show up and pass a drug test. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to add this.
You know, a lot of times we see bills being proposed or we see rallies, and you will see legislators of just one party up there. A lot of times at the front, whether it be at the Capitol, in the media room, or the rotunda. Well, I was at a rally, it was Monday morning, and it was being hosted by a group, Moms for Justice or Moms for, I forget what it was. But I know moms were included, and they had nice shirts, so I apologize for not knowing that. But anyway, Tom Killian, Senator, Republican Senator out of the Chester County area, is proposing a bill, and the bill is to try to keep guns out of the hands of at-risk people, people who might be ready to lose it, ready to just not very steady mentally. And somehow this bill would go toward relieving that person of their weapons. Now, we did have people speak out, and the fact that there were a lot of Democrats on board probably makes a lot of people on the gun rights issue or the NRA side, and that may be a little worried. But I talked with Senator Killian afterwards, and he says this is a good bill that does not infringe on gun rights.
Can you just explain Senate Bill 90 and what it does?
Yeah, Senate Bill 90 is a bill that allows family or law enforcement, when they suspect someone is either going to commit suicide or maybe be a mass shooter, that they can go through a due process, go in front of the judge, to temporarily remove those weapons until the situation is resolved, then the individual would get their weapons back. It's full of, the bill has lots of due process to make sure someone's guns aren't taken away inadvertently. And I think the key point is, currently, if a family member is worried about a loved one committing suicide, they could do what's called 302 of them, have them involuntarily committed. They lose their gun rights for their life. This bill just takes the guns away until the situation's resolved. If they're very, very depressed, till they get some help, or if they have some issues where there's a chance they could be a mass shooter, then get them into counseling, get them into treatment, so that we can protect and save lives. We have 1,500 deaths a year in Pennsylvania by gun. 68% are suicide by gun. We can prevent them. The other states that have put in ERPO laws saw major reductions in deaths by suicide.
All right, we'll be back with more of Catholic Legislative Talk, including meeting some young guys. You know I'm getting old when I say young guys. All right, we got some nice young men coming up who are good legislators right after this break.
Come to the 20th Annual Lancaster County 50 Plus Expo on April 30th from 9 to 2 at Shady Maple Conference Center in East Earl. Brought to you by OLP Events, the 50 Plus Expo features more than 80 exhibitors, door prizes, health screenings, mini manicures, and live entertainment and demonstrations. Admission and parking are free. It's brought to you in part by Holy Family Radio. For more information, call 717-285-1350 or visit 50plusexpopa.com. In places that talk about health care, babies die from abortion 600 times in 1 year alone in the Harrisburg area. That's why this spring, people of faith will pray and fast for an end to abortion through 40 Days for Life. 40 Days for Life is a peaceful, prayerful, effective way to address the abortion crisis right here in Harrisburg. To get involved, visit 40daysforlife.com/Harrisburg. That's 40daysforlife.com/Harrisburg.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us. This is Catholic Legislative Talk, and I am Al Ganoza, your host for the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference. A little update here on a bill that we talked about. This is the Buyer Beware Act. It was proposed and sponsored in the House by Seth Grove, our buddy Seth Grove, and our good buddy also, Kristen Phillips Hill in the Senate. She's a lady, but she can be a good buddy, too. It just doesn't have to be a guy. Ladies can be good buddies. All right, basically what it does, it deals with human trafficking, and for the offenses of trafficking individuals and of patronizing a victim of sexual servitude in public indecency, for the offense of prostitution, for testimony, and basically it levels penalties against the Johns so they don't get away scot-free. And that's something that's different, and it is a popular bill. Looking at the co-sponsors here in the House for Seth Grove, got a lot of them. I'm counting here. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'd say there's a good 30, 35. And there are a couple of Democrats on there, too. One that I see is Joanna McClinton, just in general. A couple others there, maybe. And over on the Senate side, not as many co-sponsors because there aren't as many senators. But Kristen Phillips Hill, well-respected member of the Senate, has got a fair amount of senators there, too. And she has a Democratic sponsor there, too, co-sponsor Andrew Dinneman out of Chester County. All right, Andrew. Hey, I got a chance. Remember I talked a couple weeks ago, went out to Pittsburgh for Dan Miller's summit on mental health, disability and mental health. Dan Miller, great guy. And it was just such a good 3-day conference and a learning experience. And there were a bunch of legislators, lawmakers, legislators, lawmakers, Republicans, Democrats is what I meant to say, who came here, mostly Democrats, but a couple of Republicans. And I bum-rushed, as I call them, went up and asked people and got their reaction on how they felt about the summit and got some good response. And I reached out to everybody who came after that to see if they wanted to sit down and have a more detailed conversation. And I got 3 people to respond. Now, that's not an indictment of those who didn't. Maybe they will in the future. But I really like the guys who did respond, and I talked with them over the last 2 days. Jason Ortitai, Brandon Markosik, and Austin Davis. Markosik and Davis are Democrats, and Ortitai is a Republican. And I sat down and found out what their priorities are, what they're working on legislatively. Let's start with Ortitai. He is working on school safety. Here's more of our conversation.
Oh, absolutely. Over the last year, I would say I've really taken up with the school safety measures. I feel that's important. Our kids are very important to us. One of the bills that I'm working on right now is the school safety threat assessment team. I've been working with the teachers union. I've been working with the school boards association to come to an agreement on how we can set up these safety threat assessment teams off of a model that was based off of Virginia. Their state model is very similar to what ours is going to look like, but the whole premise behind it is to find and detect threats and behavior before they become problematic. Now, a lot of people sit there and say, well, isn't this kind of a witch hunt of sorts? You know, you're looking for kids that may be bad and haven't exactly misbehaved, and you're just trying to get them in trouble. Like, no, that's not what we're here for. The whole premise behind this is to catch bad behavior before it becomes problematic. So if there is a child who is displaying, you know, maybe bad habits, that we get them the help that they need so they can reform, maybe get over and get the help that they actually need to become better. And in the process, if that stops any kind of bad behavior from happening in the future or a violent outburst, that's the goal. But it's a proactive measure, what we're trying to do, instead of being reactive. And in this whole environment right now, the thing is to stop things before they happen. And setting up this school safety threat assessment, what we're doing is making sure that every single school district in the state sets up a team for each one of their schools. And that can consist of their superintendent, their school nurse, teachers, people from the community, school resource officer, a police officer. They have flexibility in who's on there, and they would sit around and they can talk about students' developments, maybe some student problems that are reoccurring. I know bullying is a big issue. That's something that they will be looking at as well. But the whole premise is to get people the help that they need, and instead of letting that stew. So that's that bill in a nutshell.
Ortitai has another bill on school safety that would be more of a reactionary one in case an attack happened. He says it would give teachers a sense of empowerment. Meantime, Brandon Markosik, his priorities lie in the streets, in the roads, in the bridges, and their condition in his district.
Our bridges, roads, sewers are a very big issue that is coming down the line very soon. So in southwestern PA, our bridges, roads were built about 75 years ago. So they're past their shelf life. So we need to make sure that folks can get to work in a proper time, and also make also have a business be something that wants to come to our district. Because of if our district does not have proper sewage, it's going to be very hard to bring in business to our district. So also making sure that we have roads that are up to date, bridges that are up to date, so that folks know that they can get to their jobs on time.
Is that something that is going to be addressed? Is it tough to get other legislators from other part of the state to agree?
This issue is affecting all districts, not just mine. So I am very hopeful that our budget this coming session will focus on those issues, because I think those issues are paramount. Because if a person cannot get to their job, they cannot then pay taxes back to their community, cannot then also buy things in their community that I'm there for, does help their local tax base and everything else. So I think getting people to their jobs safely is a big concern, because in southwestern PA right now, and also in the state, we just got ranked having the second most amount of bridges that are about to fall down, unfortunately. So that is a very big issue that is affecting not just my district, but districts across the state.
Okay, last on that big three, and certainly not least, Austin Davis. And Davis is one of the guys, they were having this session there. Like, it was a group, they had broke up into different groups out in Pittsburgh, and I went up and bothered Austin, and he graciously talked to me, good dude. And I when I went over to his interview, I missed the time. It was late by about 5 minutes, which I hate doing. And Austin, no problem. Great guy, and his legislative assistant out front, Tawana, was really nice also. So I enjoyed talking with him and the others. But anyway, here is Austin Davis talking about the work they're doing on the budget, and he also has concerns about infrastructure in his area.
Yeah, so I serve on the House Appropriation Committee. We just concluded 3 weeks of budget hearings where we brought in each secretary from the administration to go line by line through the governor's budget to discuss the particulars of what he's asking for. One of the biggest areas I think is most helpful to the people that I represent is the governor's increase in education. All the school districts that I currently serve would receive an increase in their basic ed and special education budgets if we pass the governor's budget here at the state. One of the things the governor's budget always also does is enacts what I believe is a responsible 7% severance tax to go back and invest in our infrastructure and in increasing quality to broadband, to fixing our crumbling roads and bridges, and as well as some of the infrastructure problems we've been encountering because of natural disasters like slides and the heavy rain season we've been having.
Does it look like there's a lot of cooperation on the budget? I mean, you still got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, there's. What? I mean, we still have a lot of ways to go until June, but there it does seem to be a cooperative spirit here in the Capitol. Republicans seem genuinely acceptable to the governor's budget when he introduced it. The governor's not calling for any broad-based tax increases in this budget, which is always a sticking point for the Republicans. So that, I think they see that as a positive sign, and I know we've been continuing the dialogue in the last couple of weeks. But I'm hopeful that we can get a budget done by June 30th.
All right, last question I could think of. How'd you get into politics? You're a young guy.
Yeah.
What made you decide to get into politics?
So I got involved, just like everybody else, as a volunteer, and I started, I volunteered on the campaign of a guy by the name of Rich Fitzgerald. When Rich got elected county executive in Allegheny County, he asked me to serve in his administration as his executive assistant. So I worked for him for 6 years, got a great experience out of it, and then my predecessor resigned from office, and so this seat became vacant, and I really enjoyed the work that I was doing at the county. I really liked government and public service, so I decided to run. I thought that my community needed a champion in Harrisburg, and I thought that my skills, given my work in the county executive's office, gave me a great foundation to go forth and be successful. So that's really how I started, just because I wanted to make a difference in the communities that I represent.
How do you like the pace up here at the Capitol?
I like it. It's busy. I mean, we're always moving. So I like the pace of the district a little bit better sometimes, because it really gives me more time to actually dive into the issues and meet with constituents. But I like the pace of the Capitol. I like the fast-moving action of it. Really, the rewarding part is when we're doing something that we know is impactful in people's lives.
All right. Thanks again to Austin, Brandon, and Jason. And I just appreciate the fact that I could tell they had respect for me. You know, you go up and you meet someone, and whether they talk to you or not, and just the kind of the vibe you get from them. And sometimes I go up to people, and this even happened when I was in news, and they will talk to you, but you just get that vibe like they would rather you not be in front of them, and they have other stuff to do. Well, these guys, they give you that that respect, and that means a lot. And I guess the representatives and senators, as they get older and they get more jaded by all the coverage, and maybe might not give us the time of day. So that's natural. I guess that happens. So anyway, coming up next week, I want to try to talk with Aaron Bernstein. We talked with him in the past. I want to do an update on the adoption and the SWAN network, the statewide adoption and permanency network, to find out the status of the religious exemption and the fact that a lot of our adoption agencies have been put on hold. In fact, pretty much all of them have, because the Wolf administration is demanding that they adopt out kids to same-sex parents, which is against our beliefs. Also want to mention, too, I think I had included this a couple weeks ago or so, that, you know, you have, and I've featured them, the legislators that are overtly pro-life and outspokenly pro-life, and we love that. And they do that because they can. They have a constituency which supports them for it, and if they're in the Republican Party, that's generally accepted there. But there are people beyond that, and I've mentioned a couple, and in fact, I talked to one this past week. I won't mention names because I don't want to get them in trouble, but they have stated their conviction and their belief in the Catholic faith and in being pro-life, and that they will be staunch for that and support that. They just don't want to make it a big issue because maybe it goes against the constituency and maybe it goes against their party, perhaps. So they don't want to put a target on their back and lose their seat, and that's okay. Hey, as long as they're there for the vote and the support, and we appreciate that. And there are a lot of them out there and a lot of you out there. So don't get discouraged by what you hear or see on the media and thinking that you are in the minority. There are a lot of people that feel like you and I do, and just take heart and keep the faith. And we will have more on pro-life movement both nationally and locally. I'm going to take a look at that. And any movement we can get on the statute of limitations issues before the State House, and now we found out in the State Senate. So in the meantime, thank you for joining us. I really enjoyed it, and I really appreciate the listenership. Until then, have a great week, and coming up, we have Easter, so enjoy yourself, be safe, and God bless.
You've been listening to Catholic Legislative Talk with Al Ganoza, a service of the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference and Holy Family Radio.